Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Here are some Odessa American quick hits. The City of Odessa Incidents Command is partnering with Curative to offer the COVID-19 PCR test drive-through from 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Monday through Friday at the corner of 2nd Street and Grant Avenue. Insurance information will be requested. If no insurance, test will be free. To book an appointment, visit curative.com. AARP is offering free tax assistance to seniors by appointment through April 12th at the Northside Senior Center, 1225 Adams Avenue. Masks are required. To schedule an appointment, call 432-337-5281. The United Way of Odessa is requesting proposals for 2022-2023 community impact funding. Funding is open to nonprofit 501c3s serving in the United Way of Odessa service area, who provide services in the area of health, education, and self-sufficiency. To be considered for funding, funding proposals must be received by March 31st. For an application or more information, call 432-332-0941. Medical Center Hospital is in need of volunteers for its adult volunteer program. Assignments vary. To learn more, call 432-640-2249 or visit mchodessa.com/community/volunteer services. Petroleum Museum at 1500 I-20 in Midland has scheduled a lunch and lecture with Bobby Burns from 11:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. today. Visit petroleummuseum.org. Faith Fellowship Lutheran Church at 1603 North Grandview Avenue has scheduled Lenten midweek lunch and services from noon to 1 p.m. Wednesdays through April 6th. For more information, call 432-362-2549 or email office@faithfellowshipodessa.org. Ector County Coliseum at 4201 Andrews Highway has scheduled the Wrights Amusement Carnival Thursday through March 27th. Carnival bands are $30. For times or more information, call 432-366-3541. Medical Center Health System has scheduled Sharapite Blood Drive from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Thursday at the main admitting entrance. Sign up online at bloodhero.com. For questions, contact Susan Thornton at 432-640-2347 or email sthornton@echd.org. The Alan Noel Art Museum at 4909 East University Boulevard has scheduled National Quilt Month film series at 6 p.m. Thursdays. This Thursday, Paducah, Kentucky Quilt Fever. March 24th, Bisa Butler Quilt Portraits, G's Bend Quilters. March 31st, Ken Burns Quilt Collection. There will be short videos of famous quilt artists, quilt events, and quilt collections. Admission is free. For more information, visit noelartmuseum.org. The Odessa Police Department is looking for ways to connect with our community. Citizens on Patrol is a great program that helps us better work together. The Odessa Police Department is currently taking applications for the next Citizens Police Academy. Application deadline is Friday. Classes will begin on March 31st. There is no registration fee, and the Odessa Police Department will provide all classroom materials. For application or more information, visit odessa-tx.gov. Knights of Columbus number 3203 and Daughters of Mary has scheduled Fish Fridays fundraiser from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. each Friday during Lent, except for Good Friday, at St. Mary's Catholic Church Cafeteria at 618 East 18th Street. Plates are $12 each. For more information, call 432-332-5334. Knights of Columbus 17679 has scheduled a fish fry and food drive from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. Friday and April 1st at Holy Redeemer Parish Hall, 2633 Conover Avenue. The menu will include fried fish, coleslaw, hush puppies, cornbread, dessert, and drink. Plates are $12, or support the House of Mercy, $10 a plate, when two non-perishable items are donated. Permian Basin Comic Con X and Anime WTX has been scheduled Friday through Sunday at the Midland County Horseshoe Arena, 2514 Arena Trail in Midland. Doors open at 5 p.m. Friday, 10 a.m. Saturday, and 11 a.m. Sunday. For tickets or information, visit pbcomicconx.com. The West Odessa Volunteer Fire Department at 2757 North Tripp Avenue has scheduled a pancake breakfast fundraiser from 6 a.m. to around 11 a.m. Saturday. Cost is $5 per plate. Donations are more than appreciated. Silver Spur Gun and Blade Show has been scheduled from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Saturday and from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Sunday at the Ector County Coliseum, Building G, 4201 North Andrews Highway. Admission is $8 for adults and free for ages 12 and under. Cash admission at the door. For more information, visit SilverSpurTradeshows.com. Boomtown Trade Days has been scheduled from noon to 3 p.m. Saturday at the Ector County Coliseum, Barn A, 4201 Andrews Highway. Kings of the West has been scheduled with headliner Ice Cube Saturday at the Bill Ayler Sr. Memorial River Stage, 16 East Avenue A in San Angelo. Gates open at 3 p.m. Featured entertainers will also include Slim Thing, Paul Wall, Kestrel Poppin', Zap, Cypress Hill, Two Shot, Frankie J, Baby Bash, and DG Kiesel and Big Jade. For tickets or information, visit tinyurl.com/38n3yk4h. Here are some obituaries that appeared in the Odessa American on Tuesday, March 15th. Patricia Jane Lowe Cohn died peacefully at the age of 99, the morning of Thursday, March 3rd, in Odessa, just 3 months shy of turning 100 years old. She was laid to rest next to her beloved husband at Sunset Memorial Gardens. She is preceded in death by her husband, Jesse Donald Cohn, Jr., M.D., a longtime Odessa family physician, to whom she was married for 66 years. Pat was born in Burke Burnett, Texas, on June 15, 1922. She was the eldest child of Isham Burnett Lowe and Jane Hollingsworth Lowe, and had two younger brothers, Burnett Lowe and David Lowe, now deceased. Pat is survived by her four children, Mary Cohn Veach, Jeffrey Donald Cohn Sr., Jane Elizabeth Anderson, and John Bradford Cohn. She had 12 grandchildren, 18 great-grandchildren, and and one great-great-grandchild with another on the way. Arrangements were entrusted to Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home to send condolences to the family. Please sign her guestbook at www.sunsetodessa.com. Leslie Lynn Adams, age 56, of Odessa, died Saturday, March 12th in Odessa. Funeral service is scheduled for 1 p.m. March 18th at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Pastor Landon Coleman is officiating. Carmen Rodriguez Barraza, age 64, of Odessa, died Friday, March 11th in Odessa. Celebration of life is scheduled for 10 a.m. Wednesday, March 16th at Martinez Funeral Home's Outside Chapel. At the request of the family, cremation has been opted as alternative means of burial. Father Bernardito Gattican of Odessa is officiating. Boyd Curtis Sides, age 89, of Odessa, died Thursday, March 10th in Odessa. Chapel service is scheduled for 1 p.m. Thursday, March 17th at Acres West Funeral Chapel. Burial follows at Peaceful Garden Section of Ector County Cemetery. Services are entrusted to Acres West Funeral Chapel. Sid Sides of Odessa is officiating.
Hello, this is April reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Saturday, March 12, 2022. Viewpoints. Council Hopefuls Visions Important. Stuart Doreen, Editor. This week, Mayor Patrick Payton will have an event where he will officially announce his intention to run for re-election. It made me think of a couple things. First, it seems like almost a decade ago that Payton was running for the first time, talking about uncontrollable growth and other pre-pandemic issues. The truth is, it was only 3 years ago. What a difference a pandemic makes. Second, it made me wonder, how does a person campaign for re-election when a vast majority of one's time was spent dealing with the uncontrollable, the weekly and monthly ins and outs of a pandemic? I have covered City Hall for more than 2 decades, and I am still at a loss at how one would do that. It felt like city business was put on hold for 2 years or so. It felt like, quite honestly, the mayor in particular was held back from being that leader that many voted for, and there was little he could do about it. Truth is, we didn't need a pseudo-city manager type on top of the latest issues during the last 3 years, but someone that could be a comfort to a community during the most stressful of times. In that respect, the mayor eventually found his footing and helped carry a community across the constantly moving finish line. I also give the mayor high marks for his handling of unexpected race issues that popped up during his first term, but the record on traditional city issues is and incomplete, because there hasn't been enough to really know what the full impact of the Patrick Payton that a majority of voters selected would have done. Good Lord willing, the next 3 years will give the next mayor that opportunity. I have been asked if I thought what happened during the county primaries will carry on over to the city elections in November. After spending a little time with this question, I think that the city and county elections are different animals. Those voting against the incumbents in the county elections weren't voting for what happened over the past 4 years as much as a record that went back even farther. In some cases, they also just favored turnover. The city elections last year ended up being a referendum on the vision candidates showed for Midland moving forward. In that respect, there probably isn't a person in Midland who can better communicate a vision better than Payton. Again, I'm looking forward to hearing Payton provide his thoughts about Midland and what's to come for the next 3 years. The same will be true of Jack Ladd in District 3, Lori Blong in District 4, and anyone else running for council positions in November. Each will have the ultimate blank slate. Each can help this community focus on a, fingers crossed, future impacted less by COVID and more affected by normal city issues. Each will have the opportunity to talk about his or her vision for a better city and community. Let those with the best visions win, and let this community pay attention well enough to know the differences. Russian invasion, Texas impact. Energy security isn't impossible. Bills hit Putin where it hurts by tightening sanctions, bolstering domestic. By Senator John Cornyn. Editor's note. In the wake of Russia's invasion into Ukraine, U.S. Senator John Cornyn, Republican, Texas, authored the following op-ed in the Houston Chronicle discussing the troubling global dependence on Russian oil and the importance of bolstering domestic energy production for national security. High schoolers trading science experiments for making Molotov cocktails, pediatric cancer patients huddled in basement bomb shelters, architects, teachers, and grandmothers taking up arms to protect their country's freedom. This is the situation in Ukraine as Russia continues its invasion of the sovereign democracy in an attempt to rebuild the Soviet Union. The United States has taken action against Russian aggression, with sanctions crippling their banks and currency. However, Russia's lucrative oil and gas industry remains virtually untouched, giving Putin enough capital to sustain the brutal attacks against Ukrainian civilians. The embarrassing truth is that the U.S. has been one of Russia's many customers. Last year, we imported hundreds of millions of barrels of Russian oil and petroleum products. Following an intense pressure campaign from both Republicans and Democrats in Congress, the White House finally announced a ban on the import of Russian oil. This is an important step in the right direction, but there's more we should do to hold Russia accountable and address our own energy insecurity. In the Senate, I've introduced legislation to counter Russian aggression by closing a loophole in current sanctions that allow Russia to launder money through the purchase and sale of gold, as well as a bill to provide American internet and phone services to Ukraine's citizens and military. I authored bills to strengthen our own security by screening U.S. outbound investments to Russia for national security risks and identifying ways to counter Russian energy influence globally. In addition to these bills, I've co-sponsored legislation to approve the Keystone XL pipeline, increase domestic production of crude oil and natural gas, streamline the process for new liquefied natural gas exports, and open up oil and gas leases on federal lands and waters. I'm looking forward to discussing these solutions during a conversation with Dr. Daniel Yergin as part of Houston's SARA Week. Energy security isn't an impossible fantasy. In fact, just a few years ago, American energy was thriving. In 2019, the U.S. became a net total energy exporter for the first time since 1952. That lasted through 2020, but President Biden has turned back the clock, taking us from an era of energy independence back to the oil crisis of the 1970s. From day one, this administration has taken actions that weaken our energy security. Only hours after being sworn in, President Biden canceled the permit for the Keystone XL pipeline and halted new energy leasing and permitting on public lands and waters. Oil production is down by about 1.2 million barrels per day since March 2020, stacking the cards in Russia's favor. Energy security is national security. We are a resource-rich country, and there's no reason we should rely on any power-hungry dictator for our energy needs. Texas is an energy powerhouse, and we have the opportunity to strengthen America's energy independence at this critical moment. Though Texas is best known for the might of our oil and gas industry, we're also the nation's largest producer of wind energy, and our solar production continues to grow. The Lone Star State is a leader in energy innovation and diversification, and we're dang proud of it. We can offset the demand for Russian energy globally by continuing to focus on an all-of-the-above energy strategy. However, we know the sun doesn't always shine and the wind doesn't always blow. When Mother Nature fails to deliver an adequate supply of energy, we need reliable access to oil and gas. If the president continues to wage war on these energy sources, we won't be able to protect ourselves or our allies from the whims of an oil-rich dictator. We cannot expect Russia to stop at Ukraine in its quest to resurrect the Soviet Union. And we know Putin is not afraid of using oil and gas as a weapon to tear down its adversaries. The U.S. must face this threat head on by harnessing energy to lift up our allies and improve global security. And Texas is well positioned to lead this effort.
This is the To Your Good Health column written by Dr. Keith Roach. Dear Dr. Roach, I am a 74-year-old female, currently in good health. I had a complete hysterectomy at age 54 and stage 2B, ER-positive, HER2-negative breast cancer at age 65 with lumpectomy and radiation. I am 6 months away from completing 10 years of aromedics. 2 years ago, my gynecologist prescribed Vagisfem for severe vaginal atrophy. My oncologist approved as long as I only used it once a week. It is very helpful. My new gynecologist is recommending a suppository called Reverie instead. It is an over-the-counter hyaluronic acid. Can I safely continue the Vagifem? Any thoughts on vaginal use of hyaluronic acid? Answer. An ER-positive breast cancer is one that has estrogen receptors, which means that estrogens can stimulate the cancer to grow. Consequently, estrogen products are used with extreme caution or not at all in people with a history of an ER-positive cancer. Anastrozole, or aromedics, works by preventing the body from being able to make estrogen. Vagifem is a brand of estradiol, the bioidentical hormone that a premenopausal adult woman's ovary makes. There remains uncertainty about the safety of vaginal estradiol, and so I never prescribe it without approval from the oncologist. The absorption into the blood of estradiol is very low, but it is not zero, especially in a woman with severe vaginal atrophy, where the lining of the vaginal is thin. It is safe to use non-hormonal treatments for vaginal atrophy, such as hyaluronic acid.
This is the Dear Abby column. Neighborhood frostier amid political divide. Dear Abby, my wife and I share a common driveway with our neighbors. These neighbors are keenly aware that my wife and I do not share their political views. After the election, one of them quit speaking to us or even acknowledging our presence. After a few months, I approached him in the shared driveway and said, "Bob, it is obvious you are not speaking to me. If I have offended you, let me know, and I will do my best to apologize." His response was, "I'll think about that." That was the last I heard for a while, but he still shunned me. A few months later, he rang my doorbell and asked us to accept his apology, saying, "Only God can judge." I knew what he meant. Life is short, the neighborhood is small, and neighbors need each other. So my wife and I accepted his apology. Now, months later, he is back to not acknowledging our existence. I see him several times a week. I am happy to continue turning the other cheek. But with no results so far, both cheeks are getting red. Any suggestions? Signed, Free Thinker in Texas. Dear Free Thinker, stop turning any of your cheeks in this neighbor's direction. It's a shame that so many relationships have been destroyed in this country because people were unwilling to talk with or listen to each other. Folks on both sides of the aisle had their reasons for voting the way they did in the last presidential election. Those reasons cannot be understood unless they are calmly discussed. Individuals who are not mature enough to discuss their differences are really not worth your time. So ignore what he's doing and go on with your life. Dear Abby, I'm a 54-year-old man, blessed with a good life, family, friends, and a good job for 35 years. The first four of them were very good. We were blessed with a sweet, beautiful daughter. Her mother and I have been divorced for more than 20 years now. I'm a decent-looking guy. I'm kind, honest, and fun, and I have good morals and a sense of humor. I have dated many women since the divorce, but most of those relationships were all about sex. I'm not complaining, but I'd like to find that one woman with whom I could share everything. Travel, dinner, ball games, concerts, etc. The few of those I've encountered over the last 20 years have ended up getting married to someone else. Abby, can you help? I feel cursed in Arkansas. Dear Cursed, if I read your letter correctly, you have been jumping into bed with women before you find out what they are all about. Your chances of finding someone to share the rest of your life with might improve if you make the effort to form friendships first. Although you may not find someone who enjoys all of the activities you mentioned on your wish list, you might forge rewarding friendships along the way and enjoy some of them together. You could write to Dear Abby at dearabby.com or P.O. Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069. Her column is distributed by Universal Press Syndicate.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.